From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. The Peoria City Council has a full agenda this evening. Some of the larger items up for consideration are being deferred, but that leaves room for conversation on a few other matters that have the potential to add amenities to the community. The council is scheduled to consider a measure that pushes ahead with a comprehensive bike path plan, the idea of bringing an historic military vessel to the riverfront, and a measure that could add more sidewalk cafes to the cityscape. Peoria City Manager Patrick Urick is our guest for this Outside the Horseshoe.
Patrick, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
There are a number of things on the agenda tonight. The first one of interest, the bicycle plan for the city, the complete bike. It would tie all the bicycle routes together, essentially, in the city, which seems to be something that's just kind of a no-brainer. And yet, this is something that the city is working pretty hard to put in place right now.
It absolutely is one of the things that we're trying to do. We have a number of bicycle facilities or bicycle routes that are identified throughout the city of Peoria that aren't really connected or tied in together in a way that's coherent and that provides the bicyclists or people that might want to bike in the city of Peoria with an understanding of where they can or where they're encouraged to use their bikes. What we're trying to do with this bicycle master plan is just that, is to really connect all of those facilities, to make some suggestions using consultants that have done this across the U.S. We've engaged some representatives from the biking community and from the citizenry at large to help provide some input as we were reviewing the proposals that we received. And the company that has been given this this plan, Alta is Planning and Design is the name of the firm, was at the top of the list of the review team that looked this over, and they felt that they were best suited based upon their past experience and their past history with providing us with this integrated plan that we're really looking for.
So Alta Planning and Design is going to handle this, but Crawford, Murphy, and Tilly are going to do some of the infrastructure engineering professional services in addition, about $75,000 in consulting fees.
Correct.
And the council tonight is voting on that consultant.
That's correct. This evening it would be the council would approve this engagement. Once we had this engagement, we would start the public process working with the consultants to engage the community about this. We're really looking at trying to take the streets away from just being for vehicular traffic and expanding it out to pedestrians and to bicyclists and all users of the roadways.
Really, though, the bicycle path plan aims to not only add different bicycle paths to the community, but to tie the current paths together with signage.
That's absolutely correct, yeah. And that's part of the way that we're really looking at this plan is to get that public input, talk about the routes that we want to expand, but also talk about how we can tie everything back together more coherently than it has been in the past.
Is the consultant going to have some public meetings on this?
Yes.
Part
of this process is to have some public engagement in this.
When might we see those coming so people can sort of watch the city calendar and put it on theirs?
We'll be looking at starting to engage that probably as early as July or August, so we'll be moving that forward.
The LST, the historic military vessel, that's gotten a lot of press in this community already. The council tonight is going to talk about whether or not it's willing to meet the 6 criteria for locating the LST from Evansville, Indiana, to Peoria. Let's just encompass all 6 of those criteria in saying that the city would actually foot the bill for bringing them here, for maintaining the docks, building and maintaining the dock space, and a ticket hub for ticket sales. It's quite an investment for the city. Evansville spent about $3 million to make it happen 10 years ago. The LST Historic Foundation is not particularly happy with the results there, particularly in the late years of that contract. They haven't had as much response as they would like. So they are shopping the city of Peoria. Is this, in your mind, a worthwhile investment?
The importance, I think, that and the reason that we want to have the policy discussion about this evening is we have some tourist amenities already on our riverfront. Mm-hmm. We have the Peoria Riverfront Museum, Caterpillar Visitor Center. Sure. We have a lot of festivals that occur bring a lot of people down during the summertime. Mm-hmm. When the LST was here previously, it was very well received by the community.
Twice.
That's correct. And at least staff's perspective is that there may be some utility to having some additional tourist attractions along the riverfront to continue to bring people down to the riverfront. That's probably the threshold question for the council. Is this something that you want to have along the riverfront? If the answer to that is yes, then we move on to the next question, which is, okay, how are we going to pay for this? And that's one of the questions that really the council communication talks about, the costs, some of the costs that are involved. Then the third question really boils down to where. We've identified, you know, one location near the museums, near the PRM and near River Station. Or is there another location maybe closer to Riverplex where the LST docked previously when it was here in town? And what would we have to do if we wanted to look at that as a possibility? So we're really looking at that tonight to get some of that initial questions and council concerns out, and just to have that policy discussion about, is this something you want along the riverfront? If the answer to that is yes, then we move on to those other questions.
This is something that has been talked about for, a month, about 2 months now. The part that I can't really wrap my arms around yet, or I haven't seen statistics on yet, is what the potential is for revenue. In Evansville, it's not stationed in what would be a thoroughfare. Here in Peoria, it would be stationed in an area that is designed for the exact kind of traffic that the LST is interested in drawing. Right?
Correct. And I think that's one of the issues that you know, as staff, we need to come up with at least a best guess for council and to really give them some estimates.
How
if we
difficult
can't,
is it to come
I think
up with
it's
that?
I think it's going to be difficult, but I think it's something that we could certainly do. Again, I think that for us right now, it's the first question is we've got to answer is do they want us to continue to pursue this? And if that's the case, then we can dig into some of those other questions a little deeper.
Okay, so you're looking for a thumbs up or thumbs down on the initial idea from council tonight.
That's correct.
The Louisville Slugger Stadium package is not, it's on the agenda for tonight. Right. It's not going to go forward tonight.
Correct. We're just deferring that for another few weeks. We've got a couple of issues with some floodplain work that the developer wants to make sure he has a full understanding of, so we're working through that piece on that, and we'll come back to council. We'll ask for a deferral this evening, and then we'll come back to council on that at a future date.
Another matter that's going to be deferred that is of probably utmost public interest, because there are at least some public dollars supporting the Pear Marriott project. The developer, EM Properties, is now asking to switch from the Marriott Management Company to First Hospitality Group. The Marriott flag would still remain.
That's correct.
EM Properties is saying this management group would allow them a little more local control of really sort of promoting the property and, I assume, maintaining it as well?
I definitely think it would come to the local control aspect of it for promoting the property. And I think that ultimately the issue that the council has to determine is whether or not this makes sense from a business perspective, knowing where the hotel is being operated from. But we're not the only decision maker in this. There are the tax credit entities that they were both state and federal historic tax credits that were involved in this project. So there are lenders from that people that purchase the tax credits, they have to give their approvals. There's the primary lender on the project, and then a consortium of local banks that have a primary position, a first position in this project that would have to approve it. We have a second position on this, and so, you know, with our lending in this position, we'd have to kind of follow suit with where everyone else is at. So from that perspective, what staff has been trying to do is really gather all the questions that the council may have some that we'll talk about publicly, some that we can't, yeah. But and then really try and let the council make an informed decision based upon all of those facts. But ultimately, we're not going to do anything, and the reason we're deferring it this evening is that we want to make sure that we're the last ones in. If we know that the lenders and the bankers and the real estate professionals that are in this on a daily basis are comfortable with the management change, then we'll just take their documents, get our word processors going, and changing it to make sure that we follow suit. And that way the council knows with some degree of comfort, it may not be it entirely, but with some degree of comfort that that at least those that are in this business on a daily basis are saying that this is an okay decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to delve into this further, and because it's being deferred tonight, we won't do that. Because I want to talk to you a little bit about sidewalk cafes and the city being up to bat tonight to change code to allow more sidewalk cafes downtown and, in fact, to sort of ease the cost to the business owners for sidewalk cafes.
Well, and this really encompasses all uses of the public rights of way where restaurants may be setting up cafe tables. It's not exclusive to downtown, but it is something that we do want to make sure that we're looking at. There are other areas of the city around Bradley where
sure.
People have sidewalk cafes that are set up on the public rights of way. And what we're really trying to do is an effort to beautify the city with part of our sidewalk cafe ordinance, but also to provide some boundaries, so to speak, for the sidewalk cafes. The proposed ordinance changes would require that at least 50% of the boundary of the sidewalk cafe be delineated, and then also that flowers be planted, and that we would have some way of beautifying that by using flowers to mark the area. And this is very similar to what Chicago has done with their sidewalk cafes. What we have agreed to do as part of that is we've agreed to waive, currently it's $1,000 to use the city streets to put out cafe tables. What we've agreed to do is we'll waive that fee to help to offset that cost of purchasing the flower boxes and the gates that may be required to mark the area that you would have to have. So tonight it's on first reading. Mm-hmm. We hope to get we've hand delivered copies of the ordinances to those restaurant owners that are impacted by this, yeah, that have sidewalk cafes in place already. Mm-hmm. And then there are others that may be looking at this. So we're gonna look at that and try and encourage more of this wherever we can, but one way that we thought that we could help would be to say, let's just waive the fee and allow them to apply that towards what additional cost they may incur by having to put in flowers. And
want to wrap up with a couple other matters.
Sure.
That are already in place. How is the city receiving as a whole the changes at Main and University, really the sort of adjustment to that area? That area has a couple of the strongest neighborhood associations in the city. So what are you hearing so far?
As a city manager, but also as a resident,
yes,
of one of those strong neighborhood associations, I would say that people aren't afraid to share their opinions, and that's a great thing. This was a major change for a major intersection here in the city. We're watching it on a regular basis, daily, taking a look at what's going on. We want to give it some time to see what the effects have been, and then come back after 90 days with some good data that we could point to as to what type of behaviors people have changed from this. And so we're going to be looking at that. We still have some changes to make. They're still doing the construction work on the diverters in the University East neighborhood. But overall, if you're a resident, it seems that it's been fairly well received. There are still some people that have some concerns about it. But I do know that many people that have young children and that are out walking with their children, going up to a restaurant in the neighborhood, it has been incredibly well received.
Oh, for walkability purposes, it's a beautiful addition. For drivability purposes, I personally have experienced some gridlock there during drive time, which is difficult at best.
Well, it's we've looked at the times and we've looked at the amount of time it takes people to move through it, and it's cycling through at a level that's we think is acceptable. I think some people have been very open with their opinions about how long it takes. But we're moving from an environment that it was very easy to move through in one traffic light, and now it might take you two signals to get through, or three. But that's still less than 4 minutes to cycle through the intersection. I think to the driver, it feels like a long time.
The chief of police, you have said that you're going to be hiring a consultant to do a search. Where are you at in that process?
Well, we're really just getting started with that process. We know that we'll look at selection firms that have experience with police chief hirings. This is a critical hire for the community. Probably the most important hire that we have for the city of Peoria. Public safety is our primary concern that we're facing. So we're going to use this as an opportunity to engage the rank and file, engage the management of the department, engage the community, engage other stakeholders in the community to talk about what they want to see in a police chief, obviously engage the council in that process as well, and to take that information in as we go through that selection process so that we can find the best chief for the city of Peoria.
How soon do you hope to have that person in place?
Well, I would love to say that we would have that person in place within the next 60 days, but we have to be realistic about this. This is going to take some time, and I want to do it right. Chief Mitchell will be serving as the interim police chief, and he is more than capable of handling the responsibilities, and is a fine police officer and is a fine chief. So we're in good hands right now. There's a good management team in place. And we'll be able to hopefully move through this process with all speed and find the right candidate.
If Chief Mitchell was interested in applying for the job, if he could do that from the interim position, and you have said in the past, yes.
Well, I believe that he could.
Yes. There's no city policy prohibiting it.
No, and I wouldn't have any concern if he wanted to put his name in as being interested in the permanent position. We have not discussed that. When the time is right, we will. But
given he's not at the table, it's probably not fair for you and I to discuss that much further with our audience. But we probably ought to be asking Chief Mitchell that at some point very soon, I would imagine. Very good. Patrick, thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Tanya Kuntz. This is Outside the Horseshoe.